Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
So let's read the scriptures out loud and together. Let's read Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. We'll read this all together. It's going to come up on the screens. And let's read this loudly and together. Let's read. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So notice the connection. All right, we're going to look at verse 8 in just a minute. But Jesus said to them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And then he talks about what that promise of the Father is. He says, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So there's two baptisms, all right? There's a baptism by water, and then there's a baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 8. Let's read this out loud together. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Listen, it's important for us that we teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all right? Because we really can't move forward in our study of Acts together until we all come together and realize what exactly is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of people that are really, really reluctant. You know, they tend to pull back when Holy Spirit baptism is mentioned. And it's not because they're indifferent, per se. You know, I think that most of the time they don't really know what it is. And another reason is that they don't know what to expect. And another reason people pull back is because maybe they had a bad experience with how someone approached them to receive it. All right, and so it's important for us that we look at this. So my assignment today is to sweep out all the corners, to remove any confusion, you know, and hopefully remove any reluctance that you might have so that you yourself can receive personally the baptism of the Spirit. All right, listen, this is nothing to be afraid of. All right, but we're going to go through these teachings today so that you get a clear idea of what this is about. All right, the first thing that we need to really establish today is that Jesus was serious about this. You know, he commanded his disciples not to depart from Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father, which in turn is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this was unarguable to him. You know, he told his disciples, man, stay in Jerusalem until this happens. Don't enter into your public ministry until you receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was unarguable because Jesus knew that they would not be able to fulfill the mission that he had on their life without the Holy Spirit's supernatural accompaniment. And listen, that's where I want us to be. All right, I want us to get to a place in our Christian walk. Listen, not just with the baptism of the Spirit, but we need to be completely dependent on Jesus in our life. Amen. I mean, there's that hunger there. There's this thing that says, man, I cannot live without you. I don't want to, and I can't. Amen. And so where the Lord's moving us right now, where he's moving me, you know, as well, is to be led by the Spirit and not driven by the demands of the world or the demands of people. You know, so that we have a clear understanding of what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. So I want to keep this as simple as possible. I'm going to move quickly. We're going to travel, but I believe that by the time we're done here, you're going to have a clear understanding. So this is what I want to talk about. That there are three relationships with the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about that every believer could have and every believer should have. All right, three relationships with the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have heard this teaching before, but I want to do it again. So three relationships is the Holy Spirit with us. Everyone say with us.
With us.
The Holy Spirit in us. Everyone say in us. And the Holy Spirit upon us. Upon us. All right, so let's look at John chapter 14. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit with us. Jesus here is telling his disciples about the Holy Spirit. All right, John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. See those two prepositions? So there's two relationships here that he's talking a little bit about. The Holy Spirit with you and the Holy Spirit in you. And so Jesus told his disciples, this Holy Spirit, this other helper, he dwells with you, but he will be in you. All right, so listen. The Holy Spirit is with everybody that is not saved yet. So you need to know the Holy Spirit is with people that aren't yet saved. And the Holy Spirit, what he's doing right now is that he's wooing them. He's tugging on their heartstrings. He's whispering in their ears, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was sent to convict the world of sin. All right, sometimes we say, man, conviction of sin, like it's a big downer, but the conviction draws us to Jesus. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. Condemnation will drive you away in guilt and shame, but the Holy Spirit was sent to convict us, to draw us in, to give us a realization that I need a Savior. I need my sins forgiven. I need all of my mistakes to be washed away. And so the Holy Spirit is with people that are not yet saved. He's hovering over people in their lives that have not yet received Jesus, all right? In fact, this is the way it's always been. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Holy Spirit is still hovering over dark areas today. He's still hovering over people's lives right now. I'm telling you, if you have unsaved loved ones, unsaved coworkers, unsaved friends, unsaved children or grandchildren, you need to know the Holy Spirit is hovering. He's with them right now, and he's tugging on their heartstrings, and he's trying to get them to come to Jesus. That's what he does. And so listen, when you say to somebody, Jesus loves you, it's like when God said, let there be light. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It was darkness. It was void. It was empty. Man, there's people out there, they're void. They're empty. They're walking around in the dark trying to find their way, trying to make their bad mistakes right themselves. And the Holy Spirit says, you don't have to do that. So he's hovering over those areas right now, and he's tugging on people's heartstrings, trying to get them to accept and receive Jesus into their heart. Now listen, as soon as somebody opens their heart to Jesus and said, yes, come in, we move into the second relationship with the Holy Spirit. He moves from being with them to being in them. Amen. Most of you in here today, I believe, most of you in here today have the Holy Spirit in you. So the second relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit in us, all right? The Holy Spirit was dwelling with us, and now the Holy Spirit is in us. I want to show you John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. What's happening here, that this is the very first Easter evening, all right? So Jesus is meeting with his disciples, and understand this, okay? This is important. This event that we're going to look at right now is after the resurrection, but it's before he ascended into heaven. All right, so what we're looking at again, this is Jesus meeting with his disciples after his resurrection, but before he ascended into heaven. All right, so look what he does. Again, this is the very first Easter evening. It says, the same day at evening, this is John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So listen, when you opened up your heart to Jesus, Jesus breathed on you and you received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came in and saved you. Now listen, let me ask you this. When the Holy Spirit came into you and saved you, now your relationship is with the Spirit of God inside of you, talking to you from the inside. No longer with you, but now in you. Everyone say you have an inner voice. Yeah, the Holy Spirit in you will begin to direct you and guide you and lead you. And when we stay sensitive and we begin to tune ourselves in to the voice of the Spirit, it's going to be a good thing for all of us. Come on, everyone say this. Say, Lord, open my ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me and what he's speaking to the church. Yeah. And this kind of parallels this thought where Jesus came in. It was after his resurrection, but before the ascension. And he just appeared. You know, it's not like a door opened. He appeared and he said, peace be with you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And at that time, at this time right here, this is when the disciples were born again. See, they weren't born again. They couldn't be born again of the Spirit until Jesus resurrected from the grave. So they were walking with Jesus. He was there, but he wasn't in all places at once because he was still fully human, right? But when he sent his Spirit, he breathed on them. And what happened is that their spirit got reborn. All right, look at Genesis chapter 2 because it parallels the creation story again. Genesis 2 verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. All right, so when Jesus breathed into the nostrils of man and man became a living being, man's spirit was one with the Spirit of God. All right, but we know the story, right? Remember when God said, listen, you can eat from any tree of the garden, but if you eat from this tree in the middle of the garden, you shall surely die? And listen, they ate from that tree, but did they drop dead? What died? What died inside of them was the Spirit. That's what died inside of them. That's why when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus says, well, does this mean I have to enter back into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the Spirit is spirit. So listen, every single one of us were born into sin. Yeah, and it's hard to think about it, but infants are born into sin. Yeah, we have to get their spirit reborn. Listen, you never have to tell a child how to lie. Were you in the cookie jar? No, bunch of chocolate all over their face. Listen, it doesn't make kids evil. It's just the reality is that when man sinned, sin entered the world, and that's why Jesus was sent. So that we can come into a relationship and get our spirit reborn so that we can be one with the Father again. Come on, that's what we want. Amen? That's what we want. So here in John 20, Jesus breathed on his disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And it was at this time that the disciples were born again. The disciples had the Holy Spirit in them just as he is in every one of you that has opened up your heart to Jesus. So listen, maybe you're here this morning and you have had this relationship with Jesus, but you haven't opened up your heart to let him in. And I want to give you an opportunity right now. And listen, I'm not going to call you out. And I don't want to embarrass you. I'm going to ask every eye to be closed right now. And if you have an understanding that Jesus has been with me, but I never opened up the door of my heart to invite him in, if you haven't done that and you want to do that right now, will you just slip up your hand just for a second? I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Anybody at all need to invite Jesus in? All right, then let's get our focus back here. So listen. If you're born again of the Spirit, you have the Spirit. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, you have the Spirit. All right, so check it out now. Check it out. The Holy Spirit was with you, helping you become a Christian. As soon as you opened up your heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you. All right, so you have, right now, the Holy Spirit. The question that I have to ask you is, does the Holy Spirit have you? All right, because listen, Jesus not only breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, but after they received the Holy Spirit, he instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. All right, so look at this. Look at Acts chapter 1. Let's come back to verse 4. Come on, you tracking with me? Is it okay I do some teaching today? Yes. Listen, it is important that you have an understanding of this. It's important that you have an understanding of these relationships, because many of you are stuck between the power of the resurrection and the promise. And so a lot of Christians are living saved. They walk in resurrection power, but they haven't crossed and tapped into this another relationship of the promise. All right, so listen. So these are things that the Lord wants to teach us today in a very practical, non-emotional way, but in a practical way. All right, so look at this. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. It says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Now, listen, it's a command. It was not a request. Do you understand? Jesus knows how important this is. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So listen, what is the promise of the Father? The promise of the Father is this third relationship that Jesus spoke of concerning the Holy Spirit. And then he connected it. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Everyone say, not many days from now. Yeah, so Jesus is telling them, man, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, it hasn't happened yet. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Vic. Didn't we just read in John chapter 20, verse 22, that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit? Yeah, this is a different experience, church. He says, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, this hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is not the same experience as described in John chapter 20, verse 22. All right, so the experience in John chapter 20, verse 22, when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, that is completely related to being born again or saved by the Spirit. Okay? All of you confess you've done that. You've confessed Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, right? So John 20, 22 is related to being born again of the Spirit. Acts 1, 5 is about the empowering of the Holy Spirit for ministry. All right, so look at Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Look at how Jesus said this in Luke's gospel. By the way, you know that Luke wrote his gospel and the book of Acts. But look at this now. Look how this reads in Luke 24, 49. Jesus says this, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Everyone say upon you. Upon you. All right, Jesus was, the Holy Spirit was with me, helping me become a Christian. As soon as I opened up my heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in me. And now the third relationship with the Holy Spirit is when he comes upon you. And that's what Jesus is saying. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Are you hearing this? Yeah. The promise of the Father is the third relationship that we as believers need to receive. All right? And I know that some of you are going, oh, now where are we going to go with this? It's going to get weird in here. I promise you it won't. So the Spirit of God is available not only to work with you. Come on, I'm going over this over and over so you catch it. So the Spirit of God is not only available to be with you to help you become a Christian. The Holy Spirit not only comes in you once you receive Jesus as your Savior, but the Holy Spirit is available right now to come upon you to empower you for service, for ministry. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Look at this. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come, say it with me, upon you. You see the difference? With you, in you, upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the remotest parts of the earth. So listen, when we come into this relationship and this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, the focus here is on the mission of the believer. It's on the mission of the church. Do you understand? And so this is a mission that we cannot accomplish without the accompaniment of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we need to be operating. How many would agree, Pastor Rick? We need to be operating on a higher level than just our own personal intellect and my own personal strength. Yeah, we need to be operating on a higher level. And this is what the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring to us. This is what the Father has promised us. It's what Jesus wants to give us, is this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now listen, let me talk real quick about the purpose of the power. All right, because, you know, Pentecostals and charismatics, you know, you're saying, the Spirit of God will come upon you, shall receive power. Hallelujah! You know, yeah! But we never talk about, well, what's the purpose of the power? So listen, I'm going to keep it really simple and this with this illustration. Listen, how many recognize what a steam engine is? You know, the steam engine, those locomotives? You know, maybe seen the movies, all the steam coming out of the top? Well, listen, the purpose of the steam in a steam engine is not to toot the whistle. Listen, the purpose of the steam is to power the engine to get the engine down the track. So listen, I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life isn't so that you can make a bunch of noise and toot your own horn. Come on, Pentecostal charismatics. It's not so you make a bunch of noise and toot your own horn. Listen, the purpose of the power is to move the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ throughout the world through you. Come on, are you hearing it? Yes, yeah, so we got to reel things in. And we got to recognize that this is not only something I want, but this is something I need. And it's offered to me. But many Christians are reluctant. Many pastors don't even talk about it. And they don't want to teach about it, maybe because they're afraid it might come out of the woodwork. I don't know. But we have to teach on these things, church. Because we cannot do what the Lord wants us to do and what he has assigned us to do apart from the Holy Spirit working in our life. Yeah. That's for sure. Think about this. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. And he says, to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. So think about this. How could the message of the gospel move from Jerusalem in this little upper room to the end of the earth? It's going to take a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? I mean, think about it. Listen, the early church didn't have cars. They didn't have airplanes or jets. You know, they didn't have YouTube, TikTok, Facebook. They didn't have any social media. No. They didn't have anything for them to be able to accomplish that mission when Jesus says, you're going to be witnesses to me to the end of the earth. They needed a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit in order for that to take place. So how did that happen? I mean, how did it even begin? Look at Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, look at this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were standing, where they were jumping up and down. Filled the whole house where they were sitting, just like you. They weren't rolling around on the floor. They weren't trying to manipulate the Holy Spirit. They weren't trying to buy, you know, fill me. Ah! They were sitting. Listen, I can baptize you with water, but I cannot baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus can. Yeah, so look at this now. Let's read on. Look at this. How did this gospel message begin to spread on this very first day of Pentecost? Then there appeared to them, verse 3, divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each one of them. Look at, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus said in Mark 16 in the Great Commission, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. The very second sign that he says is they'll speak with new tongues. I'm not going to get on a tongues kick here, but I want to show you how God used this miracle to take the gospel. Right here in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. During that festival at Pentecost, there were devout men, Jews, from under every nation under heaven during that time. Come on. Check it out now. And when this sound occurred, what sound? Was it the rushing wind or was it the tongues? I'm going to say it's the tongues. Because it says there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. We don't know if it was a or it was just as of a sound. But it says that there were these devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, look at, the multitude came together and were confused. A lot of you are confused about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of you are confused about tongues. Like I said, I'm not going to get into a big thing about tongues today. But I want you to show you how the Lord used tongues to spread the gospel right here. The multitude came together, they were confused. Why? Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Verse 8, and how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? So look at, then he lists all kinds of people that were there hearing a language coming out of this group of 120, a language coming out of their mouth. They were never taught and they didn't understand, but the people that were receiving it heard in their own language them speaking about the wonderful works of God. Yeah. And here they are, Parthians and Medes, verse 9, and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking their own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed. Come on, this is what happens sometimes. You're amazed and perplexed. It's like, what is going on? How is it that I'm hearing this person speak to me in my dialect about the wonderful works of God, knowing there's no way they would know that language? Yeah, listen, this was a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost over those 120 people. All right, look at this. They were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Verse 13, others mocking said they're full of new wine. You'll always get two responses when there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit where there's a manifestation of some sort. People will be amazed and perplexed and marvel. Others will mock. So listen, it was these born-again believers. There was 120 of them. And they were in this upper room, and they've been waiting for 10 days for the promise of the Father. All right, so there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind filled the whole house where they were sitting, right? Tongues as a fire appeared over each of them, and then the Holy Spirit was moving. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and I want to tell you, the world hasn't been the same since. It's the same for us, church. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is made available not only to work with you, to become a Christian, not only to be in you when you open up your heart to Jesus, but the Spirit of God is available to empower you for the work that he has for us to do in these last days. Yeah, are you hearing this? Listen, let me say this too, okay? We no longer have to wait for the promise of the Father like the disciples did in, you know, Acts chapter 1. They waited 10 days. I want to tell you, we no longer have to wait for the promise of the Father. And I'll tell you why, because the promise of the Father was already sent. The promise of the Father was already sent. You know, so the promise of the Father is available to each and every one of us right now. Those of you that have Jesus in your heart, the promise of the Father has already been given. The Holy Spirit's already been given. Are you seeing this? So this is the question. What do we have to do to receive or appropriate this baptism of the Holy Spirit? What do we have to do? How do we receive this? Listen, let me ask you a question. How did you receive Jesus in your heart? Was it by faith? Yeah. You received Jesus in your heart by faith. It's the same way that we simply receive this baptism or the promise of the Father. It's the same way. It's the same way. Just as God gave his Son and you received his Son, God gave his promise of the Spirit. You received the Spirit just like you received his Son. Come on, it's very simple. I think that many people, many teachers, many charismatic people, they made it so intense. You know, I mean, I was reluctant to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 19, 20 years old. I have received the baptism of the Spirit, but I was really reluctant because the way that I was introduced to it, you know, people get really, they pray so intense. There's such intensity, you know, and they'll get everybody all riled up and, you know, they'll sit you in a circle. You'll like, you'll be in the middle. And you got people around you, you know, and you got someone saying, you know, come on, brother, come on, brother, come on, brother. You got someone else saying, pray it through, pray it through. You got someone else jumping in saying, just let it go, man, just let it go. Going, I don't know what to do. Do I come on, pray it through, or let it go? And so what do? I give up. I give up. Because you cannot invite the Holy Spirit baptism into your life through the flesh. And so I think that many, many ways from many different churches have brought this baptism of the Holy Spirit and introduced it to people thinking that you have to do something to get it. It's already been given. What did you have to do to receive Jesus? All you had to do was receive him. It's the same principle, church. Why do we think that we have to do something different to receive the promise of the Spirit than what we did when we received Jesus? Come on, there, it's no difference. It's no difference. So I think that this approach of all this intensity and, you know, I'm not saying that it's all wrong either, okay? You know, you get passionate people that are preaching on this stuff and passion comes out. So I'm not ditching anybody. Please understand, I'm not disrespecting anybody. I'm just telling you how the Lord is moving in my heart at this time at LWC, because I've been there. You know, I've seen the Holy Spirit's power move in such miraculous ways in my ministry. When I went to Romania and Hungary, I was doing it was really an evangelistic crusade, and I didn't know anybody. I got on a plane, I landed in Ferriaigre. I've never been on a plane before. I got on a plane, I landed in Ferriaigre Airport in Hungary, and I got picked up by some gypsies in a beaten up down car. They didn't speak any English. And praise God for my wife, Gail, who said, you ought to go. If the Holy Spirit's leading you, go. And man, we took off in the middle of the night. We drove a long ways. I'm going, man, I didn't know in the Ferriaigre Airport, they're all military rifles and stuff. And I'm thinking, who are these people picking me up? And man, we went there, woke up, translator came the next morning and started some of the circuits where I would be preaching with a translator. She was a school teacher. And I saw the power of God move in a lot of ways. At one time, this was actually in Romania, but I read early in the morning. I went up on this little hill and I read early in the morning in Acts how Philip was preaching, and it said that many demons left with loud cries. And I just thought, man, that would be weird. Because listen, I've never done any of this before. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have any training in any of this. You know, so I went down to where I was going to be ministering, and man, sure enough, first meeting that I had, it was in a church where all the men were on one side, all the ladies were on their side, all the women had headdresses, and it was a very religious, traditional church. And man, I brought the message of salvation, you know, where Jesus is with you, but he wants to come in you and live in you. And I gave that invitation for them to receive Jesus. As soon as they said that prayer with me, I welcome you into my heart, Lord Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Demons left with loud screams. It's like Jesus went in and demons left out. He just moved through them just like that. And I'm blown away. You know, I've never experienced anything like this in my life. And so a little later, I was at another meeting, and it wasn't rented, but it was kind of like a theater, but it's in Romania, you know, if you can understand dirt floors and things. And I had this lady at the end of my message. I had this woman come up, And she had a son, and his name was Mishu. And he was like 32 years old, and he was a field worker, man. I mean, he shook my hand, it's like leather. And he was born deaf, never, ever heard before in his life. And his mom brought him up for prayer, and I'm getting all this to the translator, and I didn't know what to do. All I knew is that Jesus put his fingers in the deaf man's ears and said, be open. That's all I did. I didn't have faith that anything was going to happen. But I put my fingers in this guy's ears, and I said, be open in the name of Jesus. And he goes, ah! He heard. He completely heard. Born deaf. And so I was checking it out, you know. And so I had him stand in front of me because I saw Benny Hinn do this. You know, this guy was standing in front of me, and I would stand behind him, and I would snap. And he'd raise the hand, and I'd snap, and he'd raise the hand. So anyway, check this out. So I sent him to the other side of this little auditorium. There's probably 120 people there. Sent him to the other side of this auditorium, and I turned my back, and I was excited. I was in the moment. I wasn't thinking. I said, Mishu, come on up here. And he came up to the front. And he came up to the front, and I realized this guy is the only one in the whole room besides myself and my translator that understood the English dialect. Listen, to him, my language was an unknown tongue. Come on, are you hearing it? Listen, you don't make this stuff up. You don't make this stuff up. And so there's been a lot of things that have taken place when you realize, but I'm telling you, I was reluctant. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, just like some of you, when you received the Lord, you had tears rolling down your face, right? Some of you opened up your heart to Jesus, you had tears rolling down your face, and, you know, maybe you had this big weight lifted, and it was a very emotional thing for you. For others, you opened up your heart to Jesus, and you're like, well, what's next? There was no warm fuzzies, there was no warm feeling, but you know, looking back, from that day forward, my life changed. Well, listen, I want to tell you, it's the same thing for those of you that will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, some of you may speak with tongues and prophesy. You know, some of you may get this warm feeling inside, or you may fall out under the power of the Spirit. But some of you are simply going to invite and ask Jesus to baptize you with his Spirit, and you really won't feel anything. But I want to tell you today, when you ask for the baptism of the Spirit, whether you feel it or not, you walk away here saying, I've been empowered. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Now listen, the Lord will give you that. You know, I get him. You know, I get the tingles and the goosebumps, and I, you know, the Lord lets you know he's hugging you. But it doesn't happen all the time, and I'm learning the older I'm getting, I can't depend on a feeling to be obedient. I can't. I can't trust my feelings. I'm all over the place. I'm serious. You've probably got one of the most insecure pastors on the planet. One day I'm real confident. Next day it's like, oh. Come on, anybody else like that? Yes. Some of you aren't, man. You're like steady. You're like, man. But I'm an emotional guy, and I got to watch it. I got to watch it. God made me that way, so I'm not apologizing. But I've just learned that, man, I can't base what I'm going to do on how I feel. That's why I need what God's Word says. And that's what we're getting today, amen? So trying to get people to get all stirred up in their emotions and get all intense for them to receive the baptism, to me, I think it sends the wrong message. How many of you agree with that? Amen. So I want to show you something here. Let me show you. I'm almost done here. I want you to look at Acts chapter 8 with me. I think that when we try to get all intense and create an atmosphere of intensity for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think it puts people in a position where they feel like they have to prove themselves worthy. It's like, oh man, if I shake a little more, then it'll happen. Or if I do all that, then it'll happen. Or, you know, and it kind of puts all of that responsibility on us. But it's a free grace gift. Yes. All right, so look at Acts chapter 8. Verses 14 through 20, check it out. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, what does this mean? It means they went from the Holy Spirit being with them, they received Jesus, they received the salvation message, now the Holy Spirit's in them. Yeah. All right? It says, when they heard, when them at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, verse 15, whom when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute. When they got saved, did they receive the Holy Spirit? They received the Holy Spirit's salvation. The Holy Spirit was in them. He says, when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for as yet, look at this, he had fallen upon none of them. Listen, so they received the message. They got the Holy Spirit with them, but they haven't, the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen upon any of them yet. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So listen, I want to encourage you, laying on of hands is good. But listen, can I just tell you, don't let anybody push on you. I'm going to tell you right now, if you go to get someone laying hands on you, even in this church, if they're pushing on you, I'm just saying resist, because you don't need their push. You don't need their push. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit slays people in the Spirit, man, I'll barely touch their forehead. Sometimes I won't even get there, and they'll fall out under the power. Amen? So I'm telling you, in these last days where emotions are all over the place and there's a lot of works and a lot of flesh, I just want to encourage you, if someone wants to lay hands, you'll feel the gentleness of it. You'll feel the warmth of it. But if you're feeling forced, I just want to encourage you just to back off. Receive what the Lord has for you. You don't have to be rude. And we're not calling people out false. They're not false. I want to encourage us as a church. I think we need to be careful that in these last days that we don't come under something that is not holy, gentle, full of patience. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. That's the atmosphere. That's the atmosphere we want to give, and that's the atmosphere that we want to receive in. Amen? Verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. So listen, Simon was a sorcerer. So this Simon guy, this is not Simon Peter in the story. Simon was the sorcerer, and he was using his sorcery to make money. And so when Peter and John came, and they laid hands on these people that have the Holy Spirit with them but have never been empowered by the Spirit. When they laid hands on them, the power of the Spirit fell on them. And this sorcerer, Simon, look at what he says. He says, give me this power, verse 19. Give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said in verse 20, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Listen, the gift of the Spirit cannot be purchased. All right? It can't be purchased with money. It can't be purchased with your holiness. It can't be purchased with your level of intensity. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit can't be purchased. It's a gift to be received by faith. That's what it is. And you don't have to do anything but receive it. Do you understand? So at this moment, you know, you can be a recipient of the power of the Holy Spirit and enter into this third relationship that is offered you as a promise from the Father. And I'm not going to ask you to get up and come to the altar. Listen. On the day of Pentecost, there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Where they were sitting. I'm just telling you, you don't have to strive for this. You don't have to strive for this. Just know that the Holy Spirit is promised to you on this level. All right, some of you may feel something happen, and that's great, you know. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. Some of you may have a tongue. The Holy Spirit may fill you, and you may prophesy. I'm not expecting all that, and that isn't something that I am requiring as a sign that, oh, if you didn't speak in tongues, then you didn't receive the Holy Spirit. We're not going there, all right? We're not going there. But the promise of the Father is available to you right now. And before we can go further on and carry on the mission that the Lord has for us at LWC, we need to open ourselves up to receive what the Father has already promised. Amen. So listen, I'm just going to ask you, you can sit, stay seated, maybe hold your hands out a little bit, just in a receptive way. And just say this, say, thank you, Father, for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, do the work you said you do. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit right now. Now breathe them in. Breathe them in. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to thank him. Thank you for baptizing me in your Spirit. Breathe them in. Thank you, Lord. Begin to thank him. You don't have to ask 15 times. You got the teaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Just as he gave his son Jesus, he's given you the Spirit, and you just received him into your heart. You just received to enter into that third relationship. Thank you, Lord, for baptizing me in your Spirit. Just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Breathe him in. We breathe in the Spirit of God today. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said you would send forth your Holy Spirit after you ascended into heaven. And we are recipients of that promise today. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that you help us. Help us to walk in the reality that since we prayed that prayer, we declare in Jesus' name that we are filled and baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit today. That we are leaving here different than when we came in. Thank you, Father. Ordinary men, ordinary women, baptized afresh with your Spirit. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Listen, as you head out of here today, as we're going to release you in a minute, you can stay postured and still listen to the voice. But listen, some of you may have really felt something shift, and some of you, maybe you didn't feel anything. But listen, it's not based on your feeling. It's based on your faith to receive. Today, if you genuinely asked Jesus to baptize you with his Holy Spirit, you need to know it happened. All right, so when you leave here, just know there's going to be a fresh boldness on you. You know, maybe those times where you're a little bit more timid to tell somebody that Jesus loves them, or you know, lay hands on them to be healed. You'll recognize that after today, there's going to be a different kind of boldness. And listen, when you step out in faith in that boldness, recognizing that you're not doing this in your own might, not in your own power, but by his Spirit, that strength and that power of the Spirit begins to operate through you and begins to flow through you. Do you understand? You work it. It's not about works, but you work it. And the Lord's going to move through you. He's going to move through you. Jesus loves you so much, and so do I. So do I. And listen, I want to encourage you, you know, find some quiet time throughout the week. And listen, I want to encourage you to begin to ask the Lord just for a fresh outpouring. You know, just soak in the presence of the Holy Spirit and spend time to build that rapport. And I want to encourage you that after today, just keep thanking him that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? Can you thank him? Yeah. I believe it. I believe it. Now, some of you may be thinking, like, it's a lot different than what I would expect. But I think that the Lord is a lot wiser than we are. How about you? And we just stand on what God's word says. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, Jesus loves you. Listen, go out and win souls this week. Heal the sick. All right? Go out and operate under this power. I love you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.